I'm not looking for any help. And besides, there's nothing to help with.
Hey! What are you doing? You can't just climb into my boat.
You're right. Give me a helping hand.
What do you think you're doing?
We're going fishing.
There are no fish out there this time of day. In fact, there are no fish out here any time of day.
Peter. Just give me an hour. And I will give you a whole new life.
Who says I want one?
I tell you.
There's no fish out there.
How did this happen?
What did you do? I'm giving you the chance to change your life. Peter, come with me. Give up catching the fish, and I will make you a fisher of men.
What are we gonna do?
Change the world.
Man, I have to give credit to the miniseries The Bible by Mark Burnett, I think. If you have your Bible, I can't hardly say a word after that. If you have your Bible, Acts, the book of Acts. The book of Acts. We're going to start in Acts 1:6, and then we're going to move quickly to Acts 5, so it's just right beside it. You can put your finger over in Acts 5 if you have it, and you're able to stand for the reading of the Word, and you want to respect it, you can. But you can respect it in your heart, whether you're lying, sitting, driving, whatever you're doing out there on the internet, if you're driving in your car. So here we go. Man, that Holy Spirit A. Fibs kicked in again. You know, maybe I need to see a doctor. Of course, it only happens here. Here we go. Acts 1:6. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken away from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Can I get a hallelujah? So Acts 5 and 12. As we flash forward after Pentecost, the apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers, all, say all, the believers were meeting regularly in the temple in the area known as Solomon's Colonnade. But no one else dared to join them. Even though all the people had high regard for them, yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord. Crowds of both men and women. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowds came from villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits. And they were all, say all, healed. You may be seated. You know, in some religious circles, Super Bowl Sunday was last Sunday. Easter is sort of like, for some church-going folk, the Super Bowl. We've had our Easter. We have weeks and months where we plan for these Easter services. We have Easter dramas, and those are wonderful things. But we plan and we plan. And so it's like this big wave, this crescendo on Easter Sunday. It's a Super Bowl Sunday. And then sadly, in many places, the next week it's like off season. It's the time now that I can rest my weary body, kind of make my summer plans, kind of get my plans going. Warm weather's coming. Got stuff to do, and nothing wrong with any of that. That's not what I'm trying to do. And then, God, I'll see you after I get my Christmas shopping done for next season. Next season, training camp. Next training camp. And after we open all those 45 million presents, and after I'm in debt, and after I have to go to credit counseling because all that debt, then I will remember you for a little while longer, for a few months, as we get ready for next year's Super Bowl. I mean Easter. And sadly, sometimes that's the case. But I want you to understand something about this great, powerful word. I don't even like to say book. It's a powerful word, isn't it, Larry? I don't like to. We do sometimes. I don't mean to point people out, but Larry's a spiritual hero of mine. Hold up your Bible, Larry. Last week I preached from that Bible and gave it to him. You know what? You know what he did when he got home? He went to his mom. He opened up what was highlighted that I'd preached out of, and he shared the gospel with her. I mean, this guy, Reinhardt Bonnke meeting that cat was cool. Man, you're my spiritual hero, dude. You know what else? He walks. I mean, he's a walking man. I think of that James Taylor song, you know? You know what I'm talking about, Chris? The walking man. He's not, you know, Bibles aren't light. This one's fairly light. Since he's got that Bible, he's never left home without it. He packs it everywhere. He walks into town looking for work all the way from South Fork. That Bible's not left his possession. Let me tell you something. That convicts me. That convicts me. And he's now got him a little notebook, and he's making notes. He's got him his prayer, his Bible. Look at there. Look at there. Hold it up. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? You guys are awesome too. And I'm not playing favorites. Somebody said, boy, that Heath likes Larry. Well, I like all of you. But I do like Larry. He's a spiritual hero of mine. But so it doesn't stop on Easter. In fact, in this word, I would go so far as to say, really, in a way, it all began on Easter. Because Jesus did all he was going to do, needed to do, all he needed to accomplish, he did on this cross and in that empty tomb. And he went away to heaven. And he left us the responsibility, us the privilege to go and change the world. He went away and he said, now you guys, you've seen what I've done. You've seen what I paid. You've seen the way I bled. I conquered death, hell, and the grave. I'm even going to send behind. I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you some fire. I'm going to send you some power. Now you Lost Creek, you America, you Africa, you South America, you Cuba, you all over the world, you go change the world. And I'm kind of normally not really into... It's good. I mean, I don't mean this in a bad way, but we can spend too much time being apologetic. In other words, trying to debate everyone. But, you know, I could break it down in an apologetic way and show you that one of the most powerful reasons, besides that I know that I know that I know that this gospel is true, is the fact that there have been many men who have claimed to be God over the years. Do you understand that? I mean, there's been people claim to be God recently. There's some cat down in Miami right now, I think. There was a guy, David Koresh. You heard him, right? There's been all kinds of people throughout history before and after Christ who have claimed to be God. But here's what happens. They die. And all those people who followed them, who were waiting for them to raise from the dead, are left empty. And they go back home and say, boy, wasn't I an idiot? And they go about their life. So you see, if somebody tells you that they're the Son of God, and they tell you that after they die in 3 days, they're going to get up, and they tell you to go and die for that cause, if they die and stay in the ground, you go home. But 12 men, whatever, you know, you can say, even if you don't believe in this book, and I know it's true, but even if you don't believe, one thing that history agrees upon, you can look at the history sources, you can look at Josephus, you can look at all kinds of history sources. One thing history agrees on, whatever those 12 men saw, it inspired them to go die for this cause and spread the gospel throughout all the corners of the earth. They conquered Rome. Christianity conquered Rome. It's conquered every superpower to ever exist. So it really just starts on Easter. So it's Easter now what? It's on us to change the world. So he went away and he sent back the comforter, and we're not going there today. But these 12 men started to change the world. And they weren't alone. It said all believers gathered. And they started to spread this thing called the gospel. They were operating in power. There were miracles in their midst. The Bible says, as you heard, that when Peter walked by, sick people would just try to fall in the shadow to receive healing because of the presence of Jesus was so strong. And because they believed, the people believed so much. Oh, may we believe that much. May we believe that much that when we come and we ask for prayer, that we believe that our miracle can happen. That was the power. They gathered, the Bible says, as I read, in the temple. Not in the main temple. It was actually in a porch called Solomon's Porch. It was in a portico. We lack porticos. On the court of the Gentiles, along the east wall, they would gather and they would preach or teach. And it says, as you heard, that some of the religious people, they had respect for them. How could they not? Oh, blinded eyes were opening. Deaf ears were opening. Sick people were being healed. The poor were being fed. How they had respect. But something kept them from joining in. It says they wouldn't go, even though they respected. Let me tell you something. And this is not an ego or narcissistic kind of message, or try not to be. But there's a lot of people out there that say, you know what, I respect what's going on down there. I respect the way you guys feed the homeless. I respect the way you minister in prisons. I'm not called to do it, but I respect you. I respect the way you bus children. I respect the way you feed children in the summertime. I respect all these things. I respect how you care for the least of these. But it's not for me. Maybe I'll send you somebody that'll fit in with you. But it's not for me. But they kept on preaching and they kept on growing. And powerful things started happening. How many know that powerful things are happening right here in your lives? But here's really where we're going today. Powerful things are happening. And people, when you come to an altar, you start feeling this powerful boost of energy. But as I like to say, one of my favorite spiritual quotes is really not a scholar, I don't guess, Mike Tyson. Everybody's got a plan until you get hit in the jaw. Everybody's going to change the world. Everybody's pumped up. And then you get hit in the jaw. And then what you going to do? Let me tell you something. I'm excited for all this fresh new life. I'm excited for all this fresh new energy. I'm excited for the things I'm seeing. But I will warn you. You have to be warned and you have to understand this. There's a real enemy out there. And he wants to kill and steal and destroy you. And he's not going to sit back and just watch and cheer you on. But he's going to try to discourage you. And he's going to try to tear down this thing that God is doing in your life. You have to understand that that's going to happen. And you got to be brave enough and strong enough to resist that and not fall back to your comfort zone. So I just read you this powerful scripture about all the powerful things these apostles and all these believers were doing. They were going around healing the sick, and powerful things were happening. But the empire strikes back. The empire strikes back. In the Word of God, it says this. The high priest and his officials, I'm reading from Acts 5 and 17, who were Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. The religious folks started being jealous at all the powerful things that were happening, that the people were starting to come, that the people were starting to get together about something. You got to understand, the people had been disjointed. There was no unity. And the people started becoming unified. People who had been left out, people the world didn't care about, started to get together. And the enemy don't like that. And religion don't like that. And the religious folk got jealous. Let me tell you something. Religion doesn't like what it can't control. And religion don't like what it can't own. Religion don't like what it can't control. And they never could control this man Jesus, so they hung him on a tree. But they couldn't stop him. They couldn't destroy him. They couldn't keep him down. So they got jealous. You've got an enemy. Hear me out. You've got an enemy. He wants to destroy you. He wants to take you down. He don't want to see change in your life. He wants to see you bound like you always been bound. He wants to see me bound like I always was bound. He doesn't want to see powerful freedom in your life. He's envious. He's jealous of you. You know, he was the original praise and worship leader in heaven. You know that, right? And Jesus saw him cast from the sky like lightning. You know who his replacement is? We never like our replacement. Women, how many women in here? When you used to date a man, you never liked that man's next girlfriend, did you? You didn't. You didn't. You didn't like that next guy. Sometimes we don't care. I'm just saying. But you girls, you don't like that guy's next girlfriend. She's your replacement. Let me tell you something. The devil's job was to praise Jesus, to praise God in heaven. And he didn't do a good job. And he got cast from heaven. Guess who his replacement is? It's me and it's you. We're the ones now who praise the living God. And he don't like you very much. He's jealous of you. He hates God. He hates God, and you're made in his image. He hates you too. You're God's precious creation. And there's nothing more this enemy wants to see than every single one he can drag of God's precious creation to drag into destruction with him. He wants to destroy you. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his job. That's his purpose. He wants to hold you back. He wants to hold you down. He wants to bind you in every way. This is just real. We don't preach this enough in American churches. We preach about the power and the purpose, and I'm all about it. That's what God has put on my heart so much. But we have to understand that the devil don't want to see you walk in that powerful purpose. He don't want to see you lead your family. He don't want to see you be a pillar in your community. He don't want to see you persist and make it. He wants to see you fall away and let this thing just be a little season in your life. A little season in your life of failure. So these religious folks, they got jealous of the work that God was doing of these apostles and believers. And they arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. They bound them up and put them in jail. There's some of us in here, at times, we find ourselves in jail. And I'm not just talking about those of us in here that have been in a physical, literal jail. There's several people in here who've been in a literal, physical jail. But I'm talking about those of us who are in a spiritual jail, which binds just as much at times. More so. I've seen more free people behind walls sometimes than out here. So really it's the walls that don't bind you. It's the chains on your heart that bind you. There's so many people, and sometimes we can find ourselves bound even if we believe. Even if we've been to an altar, and even if we come to church, and even if we put money in the offering, and even if we get on Facebook and say, I like Jesus, and that's awesome. Those are great things. And even if we pray before we eat, wow, that's a great thing. But we can find ourselves bound and ineffective. And maybe some of us in here are bound today. Not totally free. You say, well, I'm sort of free. Let me tell you something, friend. Being sort of free is like sort of pregnant. You're not supposed to do me that way, Sal. You're either free or you're bound. And I'm not saying that if you're bound, there's not a part of your heart that longs to be free. I believe it. I believe it. You wouldn't be here. On the internet, you wouldn't even be listening if there wasn't a part of your heart that longed for more. And I've been here. I'll tell you what I've done. I've been in church services in my life where I've come to altars, and I made my mind up. I got in the car, and I shut the door, and I started driving home, and I said, this time I'm going to break that cycle. This time I'm going to be free, and I'm going to really do it this time. But it didn't last always. And maybe I'm the only one that's ever experienced that. I don't know. but I really wasn't free. So these religious folk, they got jealous. You have an enemy that's jealous. And so they bound the apostles and they threw them in a jail. Some of us are in a real spiritual jail. Some of us are spiritually bound. Some of us have issues in our life and situations in our life. Oh, we have all sorts of things. Some of us have drugs. We're bound by drugs. Some of us are bound by relationship problems, marital problems. There's people that'll come. I'm not criticizing you. I've been there. I promise you, this is not a critical spirit in my body. But we got to talk true and talk real so we can break this thing. There's some of us that come and we jump up and down. Woo, praise Jesus. And we get in the car and yell at our wife. Come on, man. Come on. Is that freedom? Some of us, we jump up and down. Woo, Jesus. And we get in the car and we snap at our husband. Come on, woman. Are we bound or are we free? And I'm not saying we're perfect. And I'm not saying we don't have moments. And I'm not saying we don't mess up. But you know the difference between an everyday thing and a mess up. You know the difference. You know down inside if you're free or if you're not. We like to really categorize sins. We like to really categorize sins. It's okay, man. There's a couple big sins that we like to really, woo, man. That divides the world. How you feel about this or that. But we ignore the rest of them, don't we? You know what's the worst sins? The ones we don't do. You know what's the worst sins? His sin. Ain't my sin. God forgive my sin. Grace on my sin. I'm going to pray for you, brother. God deliver you from that. Is that real? Is that true? Is that how we sometimes treat people? So we find ourselves bound by depression, by drugs, by alcohol, by sex addiction. Oh, maybe there's some people in here and you want to stop. You want to stop and you've tried to stop and you quit a million times and you've picked it up a million to one. Is that all right to talk about? Why is it that certain things, the only way we ever hear about it is that the world talks about it? The church ought to be talking about this stuff. The church ought to be real with some people. Well, how else are you going to know anything about it from God's perspective if all we hear about is the world's perspective? So he bound these men in a public jail. But, an angel of the Lord came at night. What's the darkest time, friend? Let me hear you. You got to be with me. You all were climbing that mountain. Woo! You're climbing that mountain. You got to be with me. When is the darkest time? I like both those answers, actually. Night. You know, there's certain conditions that are, certain things seem to happen at night. Mr. Holy Ghost Cop, as we call him. You know what he does? Coburn, this is my take on it. He's not told me anything. You know what he does in the daytime? Probably gives 5 mile and over tickets to old ladies. But you know what happens at night? He risks his life chasing people. And I'm not saying we've got many. The awesome thing about this ministry, we got people on every side of the equation. That's the way God puts this together. We couldn't put it together. But he's risked his life serving me and you to keep my kids safe. Because there's something dangerous that happens at night. Seems like nighttime sometimes brings out the worst, don't it? A lot of the bad stuff in life, not saying all of it, but a lot of the bad things in life happen at night. Those of you who've been in the world, you know nighttime was the right time. That used to be a commercial, right? Nighttime was the right time. That was the bad time. There's honestly, unless you're a hoodah, where's JoJo? Unless you work in that hoodah, if you're up about 4 or 8, some people get up at 4. If you're up about 2 a.m., a lot of times you're up to no good. Not all the time. I'm a studier at night, honestly. But nighttime, a lot of bad things happen. You know, some physical condition. How about depression? When are you most depressed? When you're alone at night. When you're alone. During the day, you can fill yourself with activities. But at night, when it's dark and it's lonely, are you more depressed? When you have those cravings, those things, you try to make yourself busy. But at night, when you start feeling them, right? There's certain physical conditions like cardiac problems and lung problems that they really have names for this, that at night it gets worse. If you have pneumoconiosis, if you're an ex-coal miner, anybody, at night you can't breathe as good. There's a condition for that. I don't even remember the name of it. It's nighttime hypoxemia or something. What is it? Okay, whatever she said. But nighttime is a very dark time. Maybe, just maybe, some of us are bound. And maybe, just maybe, some of us feel like it's nighttime. Has anybody been there? You've been bound, and it seemed like night. It seems dark. And it seems like the sun won't shine. Have you been there? And that's where these men found themselves. All they were doing was preaching the gospel. Sometimes we say, preacher, it's not my fault I'm here. Sometimes it is our fault we're here. And sometimes maybe it's not. But they found themselves in jail at night. And the angel of the Lord showed up. I'm here to tell you, if it's nighttime for you, God is here. And He sent you a message, a very personal message, to tell you something. It's not His purpose that you stay here. It's not His purpose that you stay bound. It's not His purpose that you stay depressed. It's not His purpose that you stay angry all the time, irritable all the time. Bound by drugs, bound by sex, bound by all sorts of things. He sent a message to you in the middle of your night. And He opened the gates of the jail and let them out. Brought them out. He brought them out and He told them this. Go to the temple and give them this message of life. You know what was going on earlier when the pastor, my great mentor, was doing what he does? He was bringing up people. It's very easy to say, well, why does he pick out certain people? Well, we'll get to all of you before it's over. But you know what he was doing? He was telling you, he was showing that people have been brought out of their darkness, and he was letting you bring forth a message of life. There is life in this place. And if you've been delivered from darkness, you have a voice. You have a message. Boy, you got a message of life. There are people in here. When you've been brought out of darkness, you have a message of life. And that's why we testify. That's why we break ourselves open. That's why I make myself so vulnerable in this pulpit and tell you about all the bad junk I've done. It's not because I enjoy it. It's not because I like to expose my family, all of our personal stuff to you. It's because God delivered me from that place. And because of that, it gives you hope, hopefully, that there is life out there, and there is hope out there, and there is purpose out there for you. It's not fun to get up here and tell you about my marital problems. But if it gives you hope in the midst of yours, if it gives you life in the midst of your darkness, then I'm willing to do it. And thank God, some of you are too. Some of you are too. Some places, they don't want you to talk about that stuff. Keep it in the dark. Just keep the lights out. Church folks don't need to talk about that. And meanwhile, so many people are bound. So many people are bound. How many people have sat through service after service, bound in secrecy and in shame and in darkness, And if only somebody would have had the courage to stand up and say, I used to do that, and I used to struggle with that, but by the grace of God, my chains are broke, and I'm a free man. I'm a free woman. They call me every kind of word. They call me a drug addict, but I stand free. They call me a pride person, but I stand free. They call me everything, a sexual immorality. They call me a slut, but I stand a free, virtuous woman. I am free. The world has labeled people long enough, and the devil keeps people in these labels, in darkness, in chains. And somebody needs to speak life into your darkness and be real. Oh, you don't say certain things. The world says them, and then we believe them. So I say we say what God says. I say we tell people what God thinks about them. Felon. No. World changer. Drug dealer, no, world changer. Thug, no, world changer. Deadbeat dad, no, world changer. Adulterer, no, world changer. Grouch. I could have done worse than that. Y'all know where I'm going. No, I say world changer. So he told him, the angel told him, go to the temple. Leave this place. And give the people this message of life. So at daybreak, the apostles entered the temple as they were told and immediately began teaching. That's what was going on earlier when people were getting stood up and they were telling their, showing their testimonies. Boy, may give one in a minute. I don't know. We'll see. Some of you are going to give some testimonies before this thing's over. Maybe not always here. Sometimes it'll be here. But sometimes it needs to be on the street. Sometimes it needs to be out there. Sometimes it needs to be in your workplace. Sometimes it needs to be in your school. Sometimes it needs to be in your home. You got to be bold. So they were teaching again at their place in the temple. And when the high priest and their officials arrived, they convened the high council. All the religious people came. And they went to their fancy room. They didn't see the apostles out on the porch. They went to their fancy building. Their fancy room. They didn't see the apostles out on the porch. And they got together. And the word of God says, the full assemblies of the elders of Israel. And they sent for the apostles to be brought from the jail for trial. Hear me out. We're getting to the end. But when the temple guards went to the jail, the men were gone. There's an enemy, and he's assumed some of you been bound. He's wrote some of you off. Listen, there's people in this room been wrote off. That's why I love some of these guys, man. That's why I love some of you, because I can identify with you, because I was wrote off too. Some of you been wrote off. Some of you, the world's wrote you off. They forgot about you. He just assumed you would be bound forever. I got that cat. I'll go on to somebody else. That cat's bound by drugs. That cat's in prison. That cat's this. That woman's that. They're bound. I've got them. I've got them. They're mine. You got to see what's going on in the spiritual realm. It's not a little cute thing sometimes. We make it out to be. He assumes he's got you. Some of you have been wrote off and assumed bound. Let's get real. Some of you have been bound so long. Some of me, I'm not any different. I'm not any different. I'm no different. I got a mic. But I'm no different. They assumed the men were still bound in jail. Some of you guys' life, people wrote you off. So they went to the jail and they were gone. They were gone. Where'd they go? It makes no sense. The temple guards went to the jail and they were gone. So they returned to the council and they reported. Can't you just see this, Lost Creek? The jail was securely locked with the guards standing outside. But when we opened the gates, nobody was there. You guys need to read C.S. Lewis. I can't go into Screwtape Letter, but you guys need to read this. Can you just imagine in the spiritual realm, one demon going to a higher level demon and walking with his head down? You're not going to believe this. You say, well, this is a little dramatic for me. Well, go with me. You're not going to believe this, Master. That guy that we had, that we wrote off, that we did, we went on to the next one. We went on to the next one, right? He's not there. He's not in that jail no more. I don't know where he is. That guy that was so hung up on himself, we had him. I don't know where he went. He's gone. That woman bound in chains, we had her. I don't know where she's gone. But she's not there. You know what's so powerful about some of you guys? When the devil or his legion of minions, evil minions, came marching in, all they saw was a pile of empty chains. Some of you that the world's wrote off, they came to check on you. They came to get you and lead you to destruction. And all they found was a pile of empty chains. No one was there. So when the captain and the temple guard and the leading priest heard this, they were perplexed. They were shocked. Perplexed is a little bit more than surprised. It doesn't say they were surprised. You know, surprise is like, you know, you know, the Jack in the Box, right? Kids don't, that's the problem with America today. Kids don't play with Jack in the Boxes anymore. That would solve a lot of problems if we still did a, it would. They got too much time on these video games. And their mind's like mush. God bless the Jack in the Box. That's surprised. That's surprised. But perplexed is a little more. Some of you guys have perplexed. You know what? The word says we don't battle against flesh and blood. We battle against spiritual forces in high places. Some of you guys have perplexed spiritual forces in high places. That's the word of God. You say, well, you're getting a little out of the... No, this is the word of God. We do not battle against flesh and blood, but spiritual forces in high places. What are we talking about? Some of you guys have perplexed some spiritual forces in high places. You know what the word I like to think about when I think of perplexed? There used to be this boxer. Used to be this young brash boxer in the 60s. He could float like a butterfly. He could sting like a bee. Rumble, young man, rumble. He said something years ago. He said this, I'm going to shock the world. You know what some of you getting ready to do? Some of you are already doing it. Come on, you got to get with me. It's more than surprise. It's more than surprise. Some of you men and some of you women, you're getting ready to shock the world. You're getting ready to shock the world. You're getting ready to perplex the demons, perplex the hell, perplex your family, people that have wrote you off, people in the community, people in your life, people in your past. They wrote you off, and you're getting ready to shock the world. To shock the world. They were perplexed. I like this next part. They said, we wonder where it all would end. What now? We put him on a cross. We crucified him. We put him in a tomb. We've tortured his followers. We've beheaded his followers. We've killed them. We've tormented them. We've thrown everything we got against them. And they're still standing. Let me tell you why. You got to get a hold of this. Hell is throwing all it's got at you. The devil's throwing all he's got at you. And some of you are still standing. They said, we wonder where it all's going to end. What are we going to do with these people? We can't stop them. We've tried. We've killed him. We can't stop him. Hell can't stop you. Then someone arrived with startling news. As we come to the end. Startling news. The world out there needs to hear this startling news. This revolution needs to be televised. This revolution needs to be out there. The world needs to see what's going on. Not in this, just in this old preacher's life. Oh, there's a lot of churches with not fine preachers. A lot of churches with a lot better preachers than me, I promise you. A lot more degrees and a lot slicker and a lot better. The world don't need to see just another preacher. Nothing wrong with preaching. But I think sometimes we glamorize it too much. You know what the world needs to see? You got a story. You got a story. They need to see real people who've been bound in a dark place, who came out of their prison and spread life in this world. The Word of God, as we finish with this, one of my favorite, well, you know I say that every week probably. But this week is my favorite. Scriptures. When someone arrived with startling news. Can you just imagine it? They're sitting in their high council with their fancy clothes, looking down on everybody else in judgmental attitude. And they bound up all these old, dirty, rough around the edges, Lost Creek looking believers. Hold this, Larry. I'm hot. They bound them up and they sit in their council looking down at the world like some people look down on you and me. Expecting them to be let in chains. There's some people got let in here in chains. But you leaving them in here today. You might not have known it when you came. But they're not going out with you. They're not going out with you. They got together expecting to see some old dirty nose, dirty headed, black t-shirt wearing apostles bound in chains before them. They got some startling news. Devil! Religious leaders! Doubters! Haters! Those men you put in jail! Those men you wrote off! Those men that were on drugs! Those women that were in adultery! Those women that had personal depression! Those men that had alcoholism! Those young men that had a pornography addiction! Those people with self-image issues, all those men and women you had bound, they're not in the prison anymore, but they're preaching in the temple They're preaching in the temple. Those men. Come on, you gotta get this. Those men you put in jail, they're in the church and they're teaching the people. Those men and women that have been wrote off, that nobody wanted nothing to do with, they're standing on Ustream and they're proclaiming their testimony for the whole world to see. They were once in jail, but by the grace of God and by the blood of the Lamb, they are teaching in the temple. Some of you that were once in prison, not just those of us that had a number, but some of us, you're looking at one that was once in a prison, is now standing, preaching in the temple. Preachers, preach. Preach on, preacher. Preachers, preach. You are what you do when you do what you are. So I say this, Lost Creek. I say this, whoever you are around this world who may listen to this message. If you're bound, if you're in a dark place, God has sent you a message. And it's a personal message. And it says you don't have to stay where you are. It says, he says, I'm getting ready to use you. Come on, Larry. Get it up there. Get that hand up there. I'm getting ready to use you, walking man. The world might have drove by you a million times. A million cars drove by you and didn't pay you a nickel attention. But I'm going to use you, Larry, to change the world. I'm going to use you, Odie, quiet man, man of God, servant, to change the world. New York guitar player, I'm going to use you to change the world. Billy, age is just a number. He's still using you to change the world. Holy Ghost cop, he's using you, and I see it. I see crosses going out all over Coburn. I see people in the back of squad cars having to listen to Jake Hamilton, and they can't stand it. But he's using you to change the world. Boy, there's a revival in the community because he's using you, brother, to change the world. So how about you? And how about me? Every head bowed. Thank you for being attentive to this message. Thank you so much. God's up to something powerfully special here. Powerfully special. It's been a very powerful day. But I want to ask you this. As they sung about chains, how many would be honest enough to say, you know what? I'm trying, preacher. I'm trying, preacher, but I still feel like I got a few chains tangled on me. Is there anybody? Raise their hand with me right now. I see your hand. I see your hands. I see your hands. Raise them up. Say, I need help. I see your hands. I don't have it all figured out yet. I see your hand. I still have some chains. But you know what? I don't want to stay here. I don't want to stay in that place. I want to shock the world. When the devil comes for me to lead me to my final destruction, I want to be just see a pile of empty chains there. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Anybody else? Anybody else to be bold enough to say, that's me, preacher. That's me. Oh, I may have been to an altar 100 times, but my life, I still feel bound sometimes. I still struggle with things that I know I want delivered from. I want delivered from these things. I don't want these things to hold me back anymore. I see your hand. If there's anybody else, say, I don't want anything. Oh, I see your hand. I don't want these things to hold me back. I don't want this depression. I see your hand. I don't want to see this self-image problem. I don't want to see this marital problem. I don't want to see any problem hold me back from God. If that's you, raise your hand. Oh, I'm going to shock the world. Every hand that was raised, I want you to raise them high right now. All of them again. All again. All again. Everybody that raised their hand, I want you to raise them high. You raise them high. You raise them high. Oh, God's going to use you to change the world. God's going to use you. You say, I'm not good enough. Oh, nobody is. He's going to use you to change the world. There's enough shiny preachers. He's looking for a few real men and women who'll rip themselves open and bear their soul. If you're willing to do that, you raise your hand. You raise your hand and say, you can use me, God. I'm going to count to three. And I want those that want this, those that want to come to the temple and teach, those that want to leave that prison, leave those chains behind. I want you to hit this altar with everything you got. We're going to stand on the count of three. Are you ready? One, two, come on, three. Come on, come on, everybody. Everybody stand. Come on. If that's you, come on to the front. If that's you, come on to the front. If you raise your hand, come on to the front. Make room. Make room. If that's you, if you raise your hand. If you raise your hand, even if you didn't raise your hand, but you know God's speaking to you, come on to the front. Come on to the front. Just come forward as we're going to pray together. As we're going to pray together. We're going to shock the world together. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. Oh, come on. Come on. You don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to stay where you are. Yes, I need some prayer workers. Yes. Over here, guys. I need some prayer workers over here. Oh, come on. Come on. You want more?